fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retzera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mo.
Well, happy Sabbath, church family. It is so good to see each and every one of you and your wonderful faces. What a journey it has been, and I am so thankful for all of you allowing me grace to go on this journey. I've entitled today's sermon, A Journey Through Grace. Today's sermon is not really a sermon, so to speak, in the sense of a teaching about God's Word, but we are going to talk about God's Word and what it can do. It is a testimony to all of us here today that when we stay with Jesus, the best is to come. You know, I got a call probably about 2 weeks before camp meeting. And 2 weeks before camp meeting, my father gave me a call and he said, "Son, I want you to go baptize some of your relatives in Madagascar." I said, "Dad, you know, I haven't been in that place where he's calling me to go in 13 years. The last time I was there was when my mother, it was one of the stops that we had to go through when my mother, we were going through her burial. I could not believe that my relatives, my family, so many of them would give their life to Jesus. Today, I'm here to give you a testimony because all of us, especially those of you who know me, Pastor Mo loves to do soul winning. But it's always something when you're inviting people to accept Jesus and part of your family have not given their life to Jesus. 50 years in the making, and today I get to share this story with you. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that I can be with my church family. Lord, it's only by your grace that I stand here today before your people. As we read from the Word of God and as I share through these pictures, all the glory, Father, belongs to you because you alone can save a life. So I pray that my brothers and sisters here under the sound of my voice would be blessed today because they will know how great of a God we serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Church family, I hope you know I've missed you. And I have not forgotten you. Hopefully you've not forgotten me. It's been a while. Isaiah chapter 55. And by the way, the Lowndes family, thank you for that special music and singing. Isaiah chapter 55, the Bible says this. We'll read the chapter. It says, "Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, and here your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because the Lord is your God, and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth in singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. I want to draw your eyes again to verse 11. The Bible says, so shall my words be that go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Church family, today, do we believe that word? Amen. For some of you that know, my father came out of paganism. My grandfather was a witch doctor. So deep into witchcraft was he that absolutely there was almost no way that we would know about Jesus if it was not from a miracle from God. One day, as you see in the picture there, this is the exact kind of rice fields we were in. My father found a New Testament Bible there in that field. Now, I'm going to take you on a journey to how far this field is in the world. As there he read that Bible, he learned about Jesus. And he decided to leave everything for Jesus. In the process of choosing to follow Jesus, he was poisoned. And his mother told him, if you follow Jesus and not your ancestors, you are not part of the family any longer. He was a firstborn boy of 11 kids. And there he was, his entire family disowning him, leaving him with just Jesus. But I got to tell you today, my friends, just as you're going to see in this testimony, Jesus is all that we need. Amen? He began a long journey going, being homeless, going to the capital city in pursuit of his call to follow Jesus. 50 years later, like I told you, I receive a call that, my son, I want you to baptize your family members. Now, I got to tell you that many of them I had never met. I didn't know who they were because for a long time, our family was disowned for following Jesus Christ. But here it was, for about 50 years, the call came, and it was time to go. But in order to go over there to Madagascar, it had to be about 25 hours of flight time. But I had to go from Grand Rapids to Atlanta. From Atlanta, Delta flies its longest flight in the world. It's from Atlanta all the way to Johannesburg. Now, can anybody here guess how many miles that is roughly about? Almost 8,500 miles, just that one leg. 16 hours on a plane. flying across the Atlantic Ocean. There we were. There I was. I flew 2 days after camp meeting, went all the way to Johannesburg. After arriving in Johannesburg 16 hours later, I had to spend the night there. And after spending the night there, had to take a little plane. Here it is. This little plane was going to take me, I think, about 3.5 hours to the capital city in Madagascar by the name. Does anybody know what the capital city is? You'll get a great handshake. Antananarivo. When you arrive in Antananarivo, there's a very dominant scene. Right over there, can you see that castle? It was a queen, a very evil queen. As a matter of fact, she would take people and throw them down the cliff over here and throw them down the cliff. She was as evil as they come. And for a long time, Madagascar was dominated by all of these royal powers that often would either persecute Christians and different things of that sort if they did not follow tribalism. Now, tribalism in a lot of ways is a pagan religion. It is the belief in ancestor worship, that in order for us to understand where to go, we must speak to the dead. Now, is that part of the Bible? Guess who they're speaking to? Demons. 50% of the population believes in tribalism. You know, here in America, we are somewhat blessed where if you want to give a Bible study to somebody, sometimes you got to tell them, for example, you know, the Sabbath day, the day of the Lord, is Saturday. And they will understand a reference to that. They'll say, well, I go to church on Sunday, but the Bible teaches Sabbath, Saturday. But in that part of the world, if you were to say the Sabbath is on Saturday, they will say, what is that? We speak to the dead. There I was arriving in Antananarivo, and for those of you that like cars, that is a French car called a Peugeot. It is 45 years old, still running on the street. I don't know how, but it's amazing. It only has 9 horsepower, about so. Anyways, I don't know how it works, but it works. From there, as I arrive in Antananarivo, Adventists have a compound. And there in that compound is where I grew up. You see some very interesting trees. And in that compound there, you could see the home where I was, well, when I was born, they took me over to this house. And I played there for about a month or so. And my parents took a call to the Philippines. But that was the house. And looking at that house brought a lot of memories. But where my dad was from is about 7 hours by road. So you could imagine, after flying 16 hours, 3.5 hours, and then the next day, 7 hours by road. We started traveling. And here are some trees that you could see. And then we arrive at the compound 2 hours away from my dad's village. Now, these look like beautiful houses, don't they? But there's no electricity or running water. If you want to go to the bathroom and do number 2, there is a hole there ready for you. If you want to do number 1, just go out in the field and find a place. My boys will love that. But that's how it is. You know, it's kind of a change in life. No electricity when the sun goes down at around 6 p.m. People go to bed at 8 p.m. and they wake up at 3 or 4 a.m. So there we were after all those travels. And there I was, we got some food, and praise God, we had some really good food. They grow rice, that is my dad and my uncle. That is my cousin, my 2 cousins right there. It's the first time I ever met her. So there they were, and we were having a meal because this, by the way, is Friday. On Sabbath was the day. We traveled 2 hours, and as we traveled, we arrived at the location there. Now, this is about, in total, about 9 hours now of journey to this field. This is the field where my father grew up. All this land is owned by them, and they grow rice. And right on this field where he had found the New Testament Bible, we were now, after 50 years, holding a crusade. There it was. This is the local church pastor. And can you guess how many churches he has? 23 churches. As a matter of fact, 23 churches, and he goes from church to church. His territory is probably about 150 miles, and he goes around on motorcycle. And there he is, they're gathering there, because on that day, I'm going to show you my dad's uncles, these two men were about to give their life, and many more you're going to see. Over there, these are my dad's uncles, the brothers of his mother. Two of them there, as you could see, used to be the main chiefs of witchcraft, speaking to the ancestors. But on that day, they're, as you see the robe there, they're going to give their life to Jesus. Amen? Giving their testimony about what Jesus had done in their lives in front of their entire family. When this one made a decision, he is quite a charismatic guy, and he convinced his entire family to give their life to Jesus. As a result, his sister, right here, decided to give her life, and that is my dad's oldest sister. When they made a decision, they did not come alone. 60 other people decided to get baptized. Now, sometimes when, you know, we say in Africa, oh, you say you just make an appeal and people respond. That is not the case, my friend. Like I told you, a lot of these people come from tribalism. To study with them, it is not easy. Today in America, we could say the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know who Jesus is. But these guys, many of them have never heard of the name Jesus. All they know is the ancestors. But the power of God can change your life. Amen? There I am with all of my second cousins. After journeying, my dad told me, my son, you got to wear a suit because you represent the Lord. So there I am in the bush with a suit. But what a day of great rejoicing it was. And as these people, we decided, well, we don't have a baptistry, but we're going to go to the river. Now, are you ready to see the river where they got baptized, my friends? Sinking sand. There I was, 60 of them. It was the first time I got to baptize with my dad. But baptizing with them, 7 pastors, and all these people undeterred, wanting to give their life to Jesus. There we were, we baptized and we baptized and we baptized. And at the end of the baptism, I can tell you this, I was sinking in the mud. I wasn't sure if I would be baptized again with the people, but we made it. And what a great joy it was to see what God can do. Amen? Today, that entire village, the section that my dad lives in, are Seventh-day Adventists, not just Christians, Seventh-day Adventists. Amen? Just like Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, the word of the Lord will never come back void. 50 years later, and there I am, his son, baptizing my relatives. At the end of the day, that is Saturday, we decided to rest there, and you could see Madagascar. All of those are rice fields. And there we were. And we decided to spend the day at the governor's house, who was a classmate. Now, the governor was not an Adventist, but at the end of that night, he decided to give Adventism a try after witnessing what had happened in his region. The next day, we nonstop, because when you baptize people, you got to disciple them, amen? So Sunday, all of these people, most of them that had been baptized, we went for a training. They were being trained, learning more how to walk with Jesus. There are the conference officers. That is our version of Mike Bernard and Israel Ramos. There they are and supporting. And in order to be there, because the territory is so vast, they had to travel 450 miles using secondary roads. It took them almost 2 days just to attend that training. But the place where the fellow I really want to show you guys is this guy. This guy, he's not a pastor, but he's the one that studied with all 60 of them. He dedicated a year of his life to study with them. He's a farmer. He grows rice. He's the head elder of the church. And in order to win them, I was so interested. I asked him, what did you have to do? Because I know it's hard. And he said, I had to teach them five things. And you know what the five things are? It's exactly what we want to focus on. Number one, I had to teach them a love for souls. Number two, I had to teach them to have the mindset of a learner. Because in Adventism, we're always learning, aren't we? With ancestor worship, you're not learning. They just tell you what to do. But in Adventism, you need to learn to grow. So they had to learn, many of them, to read for the first time. Teaching them how to read. Teaching them all these things. You could imagine all of those things he had to do. He also had to teach them about the health message. Amen? For many of them, they had grown up eating pork, eating all sorts of things, anything that moves, and unfortunately, even eating lemurs. He had to teach them about the health message. And through that health message, many of them here now are living much better lives. He had to teach them about practical ministry. He had to disciple them. One guy bringing 60 people to Jesus. Could you imagine that? Prior to that year, his spouse had died. And he decided, well, Jesus, it's you and I, and I'm going to give you my life. I'm here to tell you, you can make a big impact. He does not know how much we owe to him for helping bring people to Jesus, our family members. Here's my dad's village, deep in Madagascar. Here are the cows, for those of you that love cows. They herd cows and grow rice, and that's what they do. Now, when you're deep in the bush, if you want to have a car wash, guess what you got to do? Go to the river. After traveling that far, we decided, well, the car needs to be washed because it was too dirty, and there you go. Beautiful. Free of charge. After that Sunday, after we had been doing all the training and so forth, we were tired. So we decided, hey, you know what? We got to go to bed. But around 10 p.m. at night, we got a phone call, and this might be graphic, my friend, so just hang on. A mother called and said that her son jumped from some sort of a cliff and snapped his leg. Now, my uncle, you know, in the bush, they don't have medical doctors or things like that, but he specializes in putting bones together. So they say, can we come over? I looked at my watch and I said, man, it's already 10 p.m. Where are they? They are coming 2 hours away. So we all had to stay awake there. And there they brought in the little kid. He's 13 years old. But there, that's how they brought him on a tractor. And as they brought him there on a tractor, I started asking myself, wow, how did I end up here? And they don't have a cast. That's what they use, bamboo and cardboard. Wrapped it around his leg. And I got to tell you, my friends, I guess they pull apart the bone and they snap it back in. And that's what they did. And they wrapped it up. And at the end of that, the mother wanted to give my uncle some money. But he's an Adventist now. And he says, no, I don't want it, your money, but I do want to pray with you. And he prayed with her. And I saw there a wonderful work. At the end, on Monday, it was time to head back home. That's my cousin and my aunt. And I realized in order to go back home, I got to do the journey all over again. Oh, just in case you want to know how Madagascar roads look like, this is how they look like. This is the highway. One car, it's really one lane in America, but one car here, these are trucks, and one car on this side. Right next to a cliff. You see that? 7 hours of that kind of journey. And there was, we would journey about 7 hours. And then finally, soon, we arrived at the airport the next day. And guess who I saw at the airport, my friends? Are you ready for this? Cody Francis. As he was arriving on the same plane, right here, I was about to leave on the same plane. And I realized something about our Advent movement. We are really a movement. As I had just gone over there to baptize my relatives, he was going there with ASI to prepare evangelistic meetings across the capital city. And I realized that really we are part of a global movement. Amen? And that he was going to do a work through ASI and different partners of bringing other people to Jesus. And it was like a handoff. As you know, he loves to smile. And there was, greeted him as he's going to immigration. And I exit all the way back to South Africa, all the way back to the United States. And it's good to be back in Lansing. But all in all, my friends, I want to tell you this one thing. You can make an impact for Jesus. There's no better life to live than a life that is dedicated to Jesus. I know for many of us here today, maybe we have family members who maybe have walked with Jesus but have left. Maybe for some of us, we have family members that don't even know the name of Jesus. And I tell you what, today being an Adventist is not an easy thing. But don't give up. Because Jesus has a plan for your life. And you don't know how you being faithful today can be the door to bringing salvation to somebody tomorrow. You don't know how you staying strong today can change the course of an entire family and nation for Jesus Christ. I don't know when I'm going to go back again, but now I can go back to an entire village that is Seventh-day Adventist, that believes in the hope that we have in Jesus. And I don't know what kind of story you are writing right now, but I know this, if Jesus is in your life, the best is yet to come. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, all I can do is share our story. But I know for each and every one of us, you are writing the best story. Yes, it is a narrow way. Oftentimes, we might even feel alone when we choose you. But in due time, the best will come. I pray for all of those under the sound of my voice that they will know, Father, that if they keep the faith, they have nothing to fear because Jesus will make it up to us in time. I also pray for those maybe today, Father, who are wavering in their walk with you and questioning whether it's worth it to follow Jesus. I ask, Father, that you would give them the reassurance that it's the best choice they can ever make. And for those, Father, who have been walking a long time with you, I pray, Father, that you would bless their walk with you, renew their experience with you, and fill all of us with your Holy Spirit, so that as we go from faith to faith, soon we shall see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the church at 5400 West St. Joe Highway in Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Access their website at lansingadventist.org. This program has been a Strong Tower Radio production.